Quick. Yeah. Hey, geekles and nerdlings. It's your boy, the director, Chris Keeling, coming to you again Sunday, April 19th, for a new Geekcultural Experience podcast. And tonight, as always with me, is the lovely and talented Sarah the Ted.
Hello.
And our other guest, Elisa Wiggin.
Hola!
And tonight, we are going to talk about D&D. There's been a resurgence in with the interest from shows like Stranger Things and the new web show Critical Role. And tonight, we're going to introduce our first out-of-house guest, Sam Basco. He is he's my personal trainer, longtime friend, and he's been a longtime RPG player. So Sam, you wanna say hi to everybody?
Excuse me, hi. How's everybody doing?
Okay. So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna talk about this stuff tonight, and so I want to start out because we've played a few games with the throughout our lives, but we've gotten invested in the IWV role playing game page on Facebook, and it's a thriving community. So let's start out with what most people know of D&D. Is that, you know, most people are, if anything's familiar, it's generally Baldur's Gate or Forgotten Realms. And I know since talking to you, you have also introduced me to three or four other settings. Let's start out by talking about what other settings new people could get into for D&D, and what's your preference to the settings?
That sounds really good. In regards to settings, one of the very first settings for Dungeons & Dragons started in the 1970s, and it was called Greyhawk. Yeah, and that was one of the first official quote-unquote settings. After Greyhawk, they made many, many settings after that. I'm going to say anywhere between 20 and 30 additional settings, including very well-known ones like Forgotten Realms, Ravenloft, Dark Sun, Planescape, Birthright. Those are just the ones off the top of my head. There's many, many settings for Dungeons & Dragons, and each setting tends to focus on a different aspect of fantasy role-playing. For example, Ravenloft tends to focus on what's known as gothic horror role-playing. Gothic horror, vampires, werewolves, the mummy, that kind of Frankenstein, that kind of in style of horror. Which is a different style than take, let's say, Dark Sun, which is a post-apocalyptic fantasy setting where everything is a desert wasteland and the resources are extremely scarce. So there's many, many different settings, and there's whatever style of fantasy you're into, steampunk, old school, swords and sorcery, etc. Whatever fantasy setting you enjoy, Dungeons & Dragons has a campaign setting for you. Does that answer your question, Chris?
Oh, yes, that definitely, because I know that viewing it as the common person who wouldn't know anything is all most people would see is the, well, Dungeons and Dragons, the swords, the medieval fantasy look, and that's definitely something that is interesting to know. I know that Sarah and I started with the club, and we've gotten into playing Ravenloft, and I kind of like it because it's a bit different than what we were expecting to go into in the first place. So I tell you what, Sam, do me a favor. Explain to us your qualifications. How long have you been playing role-playing games?
Oh, wow. I started playing role-playing games initially. It must have been about 1983, maybe 1984, somewhere right around there. And that I got into playing Dungeons & Dragons when it was still fairly new at that point. Yeah, it was a very fringe type activity. And this was right before the 1985 Dungeons & Dragons Satanic Panic that occurred, where many different religious organizations, quote-unquote, had their members burning Dungeons & Dragons book. That was during the Satanic Panic of about 1985. And but yeah, I got into it right before then, and I haven't stopped since. I've been playing one form or edition or another regularly since that time. That would be 10, 20, 30, I don't know, 30 years, something like that, I'm going to say. But yeah, since 83 or 84, one form or another, I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay, so what got you into playing Dungeons & Dragons or role-playing games in general? I mean, there must have been something that totally just like, oh, I got to do this.
Well, that's a great question, because in 1983, Dungeons & Dragons was pretty much the only role-playing game on the market. Computers, remember, Nintendo, the original Nintendo, wasn't quite out yet. So there were no computer role-playing games. There were no game systems. There were no Sega Genesis or Nintendo or none of that. D&D was pretty much the only role-playing game in town. There were a couple fringe ones that nobody knows about or talks about, but basically D&D was the main one. And I saw kids playing it at school, and it was very fascinating what they were doing. A strange storytelling game with dice. I'll never forget that. And in fact, it was at Inyokern School in that time, 83, 84, here in Inyokern. And some kids were playing, and I was fascinated by it. And I didn't have access to any books or anything like that. So some friends of mine and myself, we basically made up some rules that we needed, some basic structure, mechanics, and we started playing a fantasy-flavored role-playing game right away, because none of us had access to books at that time. They didn't sell any in town. They were very hard to get a hold of, especially for a kid at that time. So, the fact that anyone had a book or two, that was a very rare thing. Now they're all over. Everybody's got them.
Okay.
Yeah, other kids.
So, all right, let's, so as you've established, D&D's been out for 30 plus years.
Getting 1976.
All right, so 40 plus years. And with that, and I know that there's been many editions, and I know a popular edition is second edition. I think it's probably the more well-known edition. So, with that being said, how many editions do you know that are out there, and which one of those editions do you uphold as like the gold standard for playing, and which one
That's
seems
better? That's a great
better?
Question. That is an excellent question. How many editions are there, and which one is my favorite? Which one I think is the best? That's a really good question. How many editions are out there? That's easy. There are five. They're started with first edition. Then I grew up on first edition and second edition throughout the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, it switched to third edition. And then the late, like 2008, 2009, etc., switched to fourth edition. Now, fifth edition came out about 2016, 2017, somewhere right around there. Maybe 2015, even early. But yeah, there's five editions for Dungeons & Dragons. Which one is the true edition of D&D? Which one is the best? I take a Jeet Kune Do philosophy in regards to how I answer that. And Jeet Kune Do, as in the martial arts system, the philosophy goes like this: take what is useful, discard what is not, and keep what is uniquely your own. So I take that philosophy, that Jeet Kune Do mindset, and I do that with the five editions. So as far as which one is best, well, that's irrelevant to me because I don't use any of them. I use bits and pieces, and I've harvested bits and pieces from all of them, and I use a synergistic blend of all five editions. In other words, I pick and choose what I like the best, and I keep it, and the stuff that I don't like, I throw out. So my version that I play with my players is editionless. I steal from first edition rules all the way through fifth edition rules. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I know the first time I ever played, I think it was second edition, and they had and I know because you pull up, there's a lot of books to this series. And so one of those things I want to know is, in your opinion, what are some of the resource, we'll say books, that you have found really to add on? I know they have like a gods and mythology book, I think was the second edition that I liked. So what kind of resources do you really like that add to the play besides maybe the basic players' manuals? And
that's a great question. In other words, what additional resources do I like to use aside from the foundation core books? And yeah, that's a really great question. There's two answers to that. The first is an in-game answer. The books that I like to, the actual Dungeons and Dragons books that I like to use as part of my reference. And then the second answer to that question is the books that I own that I've purchased to expand my knowledge on fantasy and fantasy role-playing. I should just say fantasy. So, like, my favorite set of Dungeons & Dragons reference books isn't Dungeons & Dragons at all. It's actually the 1984 Vincent Price cloth-bound fabric horror and fantasy series that Vincent Price used to sell for Time Life Books in 1984.
I wanted that.
You guys might remember that. They were called Time Life Books, and they had, they're all about fantasy. There were 21. It's a 21-volume set that I own, and each book focuses on a different fantasy topic. For example, dwarves, fairies, dragons, creatures of the night. Okay, if that isn't information on fantasy gaming, I don't know what is. So that's more like storyline based and out of material that I purchase outside of D&D to use for D&D. Then, of course, then there's the stuff within the game itself that expands upon the basic books. Basic books being the core three: Player's Handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide, and the Monster Manual. So aside from those core three within the game itself, for example, second edition has an entire handbook for each class. So whatever of the six basic classes you choose, there's a handbook in second edition that you can buy that's going to give you an additional 10 to 30 choices on sub classes that you might enjoy. So, yeah, there's great in-game and great outside-of-game material to expand on.
Okay, nice. That is interesting. I would have never thought to look at something like that. But that's definitely, definitely a good way to take your perspective with, like, the Jeet Kune Do philosophy and stuff. So with that, you know, because geek culture is really now basically coming out, and it's like, it's kind of cool, you know. Growing up, I know, at least from my aspect, being into these kinds of things weren't always suggested to bring out to everybody else, because that labels you weird and gets you beat up. But so with that, is there anything common myths about D&D that you want to debunk and tell people that, you know, however you think it is, yeah, that, you know?
Well, first of all, if this was the year 1985, I would love to have answered that then, because in 1985, during the Satanic Panic, when they were burning the books, different religions were burning the books, I would have tried to tell them, hey, man, this isn't like some twisted devil's workshop. This is just, you know, a tabletop game for friends and family to play together. That's all it is, nothing more than that. And then nowadays, there is nothing like that that's blocking it now. In fact, it's growing faster than maybe it ever has. It's growing now in 5th edition. In this year, 2020, D&D is growing exponentially. It died off for a short time from about the year 2008 to maybe 2013 or 14. It died off for a little bit because of 4th edition and things like that. But, yeah, it's making a powerful comeback. And as far as debunking anything, no, I, as long as people like to play role-playing games, like on their computer, or like to play games with friends and family and loved ones, then Dungeons & Dragons is totally for them.
Right.
And for those that are still stuck on the whole Satan Panic, there are no spells!
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, so, how long have you been game mastering? I know we've talked, hit a little upon it, but would you give us some of your experiences as a longtime DM? How has that fulfilled you personally, and maybe your connections with people out there?
That's a great question. I'm currently, as you guys know, I'm currently the moderator of the IWV RPG page that you guys are a member of, and I have been DMing about 3 to 5 nights a week on average since the pandemic and the stay-at-home order doesn't allow me to do my normal job, which is train you and other people. And so during this stay-at-home time, I've been DMing for, you know, regularly. And it's a blast getting groups of anywhere between 5 and 10 people together online and playing for between, you know, heck, 3, 4, or 5 hours sometimes. But 3 hours is very common. That's a common game length. But as far as DMing, I've been DMing since the beginning, because remember, when we didn't have access to books, we had to again make everything up as we went along, until finally some of us started getting some books and piecing the game together and doing things mechanically right. But we were playing the spirit of the game correctly from the beginning. But yeah, as far as my experience as a DM, if a person wants to get into DMing, it's usually a good idea to be a player for a while first, maybe 6 months to a year. Sometimes less if you have a knack for it, if you pick up things quick. And then ask someone to show you the basics, a friend, or nowadays with YouTube, they have free resources to teach you how to DM, which is another great choice.
Right.
I have a question. As the DM, do you allow kenders?
Kenders, that is, am I correct, that is the second edition Dragonlance race that they use in that setting, right? Is that right?
Don't answer this, it's a trap. I'm telling you, it's a trap.
If I was playing a Dragonlance setting, I would encourage the players use kenders, because they're awesome and they're from Dragonlance, and they're a really fun, exciting race.
There's actually a couple in the Harper series books that that have kenders in the Forgotten Realms genre. That's why I was asking.
Oh, Kender in Forgotten Realms. I've never heard of that before. We'd have to talk more about that at length.
Okay.
Hey, I'll add her to the RPG page then.
Please do.
And then you can go down that black hole. Good luck, my friend.
Yes.
No. Anyways, okay, so... getting back to you DMing, have you ever come to a point where a situation where you've just like you failed? I mean, there's something about being a DM that you feel like you failed, and what did you learn from it?
Good question, but as long as I learned from it, I didn't fail. That game was a success, because that's going to make me a better DM. And as long as a DM is always trying to get better, like legitimately always trying to be a better DM, you know, a better game master, then I think then you're fine. As far as, you know, games have had to stop early, or some players, I had to make adjustments because a player and I, our play style didn't jive, but I learned something from every one of those little small incidents, but no, nothing bad or noteworthy.
And I noticed that, from my personal experience, that being a storyteller, I find that being in a position just for role-playing standards anyways, it helps me be a better storyteller. I don't know if you would. I bet you would agree with me on that. You know, it's always been fun to see, and I know that I'll start. This campaign we recently started is that I was going into it as one thing, but the dice kind of ended up molding my character into something totally different.
That happens sometimes.
I know personally I am horrible when it comes to the dice, period. Dice do not like me. I mean, we can start out real well. Oh, I'm rolling all these good moves, and then all of a sudden it's like, when it comes down to it, I'm rolling ones and twos.
Your Eldrick, Red Dragon, is taken out by food poisoning.
Yes.
Yeah. Something just like that.
So, there's several things you can do with being an unlucky dice roller. Starting off with first, trying to buy a new set of dice.
I've offered that several times.
It doesn't matter which dice. I'm telling you now, it doesn't matter what dice I get. They don't like me when we play role-playing games.
Why don't you try a dice generator?
Maybe. Hmm. I've also seen blessing of dice on YouTube. People can go on and bless the dice if we...
There you go. I'll bless your dice for $300.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Sam. Yeah, I love you so much. Thank you. No.
Dude, I actually have something I can do.
All right, so carrying on. So what's one of those things that's really helped? Well, I guess we kind of went over that, but... when it comes to the origins of D&D, do you know the history of how...
Yes.
Would you explain a little bit? I would imagine it was based off of Lord of the Rings type stuff.
Yeah. You can. It's pretty safe to say that the fantasy genre is the modern fantasy genre as we know it. Ultimately, is an homage to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. Okay, that one of the main inventor of the games, Gygax.
Long may.
You know, he actually says that Dungeons and Dragons, a lot of its elements are modeled after Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, dwarves, elves, sword and sorcery, that kind of stuff. That's and the preferred nomenclature is Tolkien-esque. Tolkien-esque. Yes, Dungeons and Dragons is very Tolkien-esque.
Okay, that's very, it makes sense, because it does seem Lord of the Rings really did seem to define modern fantasy. And
yeah, absolutely. Without Lord of the Rings, we would be 100 years behind. Without Lord of the Rings, the closest thing we would have to fantasy is Conan the Barbarian killing giant dragons and huge scorpions and stuff like that. That's the closest thing that we would have. I'm generalizing more for fun, but
right.
You know, there's a point. Without Lord of the Rings, you almost can't have Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, yeah. So I tell you what, we have tell our listeners about the this role playing club of the IWV. And tell them a little bit about it. Tell them what the goals and expectations are and what you're trying to do. And
absolutely. That sounds like fun. Basically, the IWV RPG Club stands for the Indian Wells Valley Role-Playing Game Club. Pretty simple. And we're the largest local club on Facebook. We have almost 200 members, and 90% of our members are local Ridgecrest players like yourselves. And so we've got almost 200 members in the RPG club, and we run not just RPGs but other games as well, other tabletop games like Warhammer 40K and Stratego and even chess. So, but RPGs is one of our big focuses, especially right now that Dungeons & Dragons is really hot. A lot of people are joining in Dungeons & Dragons clubs and getting on board. And I put together the IWV RPG Club several years ago as a very small group of a dozen or so members to start off with. And in this short time of just a few years, it's grown to almost 200 members. It's free to be a member on Facebook. Anybody with a Facebook account can choose to join. I have to approve them as the administrator, of course. And anybody that's looking for a game, looking for online games or in-person games once the quarantine is over, they'd be able to find them here. And I match up both amateur games and professional games. They're amateur games. Most of our games are amateur, meaning that the members don't pay. They're just free games that people play, as D&D usually is. However, there are professional games also run, and those are much less frequent, but they're there, and they're solid. We have a great professional Dungeons & Dragons League with paying members as well. So, in any case, anybody who's a member of the RPG Club, there's enough free and paid games to find a spot for anyone who's interested. So, yeah, we have room.
Cool. You got any questions?
I have a question. Have you ever wanted to go to GaryCon?
GaryCon, let me think. Yes, in fact, I was just speaking with his daughter I was just speaking with Gary's daughter about that very thing, and unfortunately, as you know, the latest Gary Con was canceled, and it was, people were actually podcasting their little booths from their living room, and it was really fun. But the live one was canceled, but the one, they had a kind of a funny one on the internet that they did that was really small. But yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to one of those?
I'd cosplay as a D20 dice.
Say it again?
I'd cosplay as a D20 dice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The other one that I don't know if they have anymore, used to be the big one back in the day, was Gen Con. Now, I'm sure they do have it still.
Yeah.
But I'm friends with Gary Gygax's daughter on Facebook, and we speak somewhat regularly. And then I'm also friends with his son, Luke Gygax, as well as Junior, which is Gary Jr., Gary Gygax Jr. Has another name I can't remember, but anyways, there's three of them, three siblings, all Gygax family, and I'm friends with all of them on Facebook, and really nice people. And I'd love to go to Gary Con someday. Comic Con got canceled this summer. I don't know if you guys know about that.
We heard about that
because of Corona. And so, sadly, some people that were really excited about that's gone until next year at least.
We had tickets for WonderCon, and that got canceled.
Yeah, the last one I was at was Stan Lee's Kamikaze, and that was in 2018 with a good friend of mine. We did that one. That was pretty cool. It was big. I didn't expect it to be so big, and that Kamikaze was massive.
Right. Oh yeah, we love our cons.
Right. Well, back to the RPG page. The RPG page is number one spot in Ridgecrest for those that are interested in playing D&D, tabletop role-playing games, as well as strategy games like Warhammer 40,000 and things like that. A lot of great people. And active members, we're playing all the time. It is, I would say, the hottest spot in Ridgecrest for these kind of things right now.
Right.
You know, there's Just Imagine, but that's a brick and mortar store that sells a lot of these products. I don't sell any D&D products. We're just a club. I don't sell any of the stuff like Just Imagine does. But Just Imagine has been basically, in the D&D scene for decades, since they've been open in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And I fully support everything they do, and I think they're just a wonderful little store, and I can't say enough good things about them and all their people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've been customers of theirs for years. I think I first went up there in 97 when we moved here, and they had the comic book shop up top, and my buddy Scott used to run it, or he ended up becoming my buddy afterwards. So,
yeah. Yeah, Scott Cheshire.
Yes.
Yep, great guy.
Yeah, Scott's a good guy, definitely.
Yeah, and so anybody who is listening to your show and wanting to try Dungeons & Dragons or any role-playing game, for that matter, for the first time around, We're the place to check out. And again, we're free and to be a member. Ultimately, I could see if the club grew large enough to warrant a building, I could see maybe us having a meeting spot somewhere that was a designated spot. But as of now, I converted my two-car garage into a clubhouse, a man cave, if you will. And that's the D&D clubhouse that you, your wife, and several other, we had almost 20 members there right before the coronavirus hit. We had almost 20 members there all playing D&D one night, and it was great. So much fun.
So, because I know I have people who also listen out of town, explain how, because I know, because I pay attention to the the group and stuff. I know you have members who don't live in town, and it looks like you have people that, while out of town, they definitely partake in the games. You want to explain a little bit of how you can bring this wide world into your gaming system? How do you do that?
Absolutely. So normally, when we're not under quarantine, I like to run both live games and online games. Not always concurrently, but I like both. Since we're in quarantine, what that means is all people who join the club, the IWV RPG club, anybody who joins can jump on online, and it doesn't matter where in the world they live, as long as they can download the app Discord, which is the app we use to play, and it works on any basic cell phone. Any basic cell phone. All cell phones can play this. Of course, computers and laptops is preferred and ideal with a fancy headset, but anybody with just a basic, even an Obama phone, can run it. So they can download Discord for free onto their smartphone, their Apple or Android, what have you. They download it for free, and no matter where they live, they can get online and start playing with the group through Discord. And there's enough groups running where, regardless of what their time frames they have available, I'm sure that there's a group in room that would fit them. Okay. So, anybody can play. Anybody can join, and until we're out of quarantine, it's going to be purely online games for now, so everyone's welcome.
Okay, that sounds great. We will definitely put this... I'll get more information from you offline to help put on the websites and social media and stuff. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and discussing D&D with us. It's been very enlightening. And
my pleasure, man. My pleasure. Anytime you get me on there, anytime I'll plug D&D, talk about the RPG page, training. I used to run at the old combat club back in the day. I used to run Magic the Gathering tournaments every Friday night. That was a lot of fun. Almost 10 years ago now, but anytime, man, I'm always available, and you guys just hit me up. I'd be happy to talk about whatever.
All right, I appreciate it. With that being said, we're about ready to wrap it up. Thank you again, Sam, everybody, my personal trainer and friend, Sam Basco, a very knowledgeable man, great guys, helped me improve my health by 100-fold, and I want to thank you for all that as well. And I'm sure I'm going to get you on the other podcast for that at some point too.
It's my pleasure, man. You just let me know, I'll be there.
All right, you have a good night, Sam. Thank you so much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.